Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Never before had the road to Emmaus seemed so long. The events of the past few days was the culprit. Two Emmaus-bound disciples were completely sold on Jesus. They had witnessed for themselves much of his great ministry. Miracles, teachings, encounters with the religious leaders. They had been around for much of it. Their Jesus was something special. Now, there had been others with zeal and with knowledge, but not quite like Jesus. They described him as a prophet, mighty in deed and word. Their hope, their faith, their trust was in him as the Messiah promised long before by God himself. But their Jesus had died too soon. He wasn't able to do what they had hoped he could. That is, set Israel free. These disciples and their fellow Jews still found themselves without a prominent leader. These disciples of Jesus, bound for Emmaus, had celebrated the Passover in the high holy city of Jerusalem. And shortly thereafter, they had lost their leader. He was killed at the hands of their own religious leaders, the chief priests. And if that wasn't bad enough to have Jesus die by crucifixion, the hands of Roman soldiers, there were now some women of their very own company of disciples claiming to have seen the tomb empty and to have seen a vision of angels announcing that very word. And then they announced to the disciples that Jesus was risen from the dead. If only that were true. Peter and John, two of the most prominent of the disciples, even ran to the tomb, and they too saw that it was empty. Wrapped up and lost in all of these thoughts and the sadness of their predicaments, these disciples made their way to Emmaus. Hearts distraught and hope defeated, bent beneath grief's crushing load. What next? Who would be the next one to claim the title of Messiah? Would there be a next one? Who is this who joins our journey, walking with us stride by stride? Luke tells us that Jesus suddenly appears with those two disciples, but they are kept from recognizing him. Now, how can they, who have known Jesus so well, not recognize their Lord and their Master? We are not told, and so we do not know. But what we can be sure of is that it pleased Jesus for it to be this way. Jesus wasn't messing around with his disciples, nor was he trying to deceive them in any way. But such hiddenness would serve his greater purpose. This mystery allowed Jesus to then ask these two men, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" Now, of course, Jesus, being God, knows all things. So the question is unnecessary for him, but not for the disciples. And this question strikes them squarely. They stop their walking, and the grief hits them all over again. It is as though their walking had somehow kept their gloom at bay, but not anymore. In response to Jesus' apparent cluelessness, Cleopas, one of those two disciples, answered Jesus, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? How can anyone in the general area of Jerusalem not know what has just happened?" Truth be told, Jesus is not the one here guilty of ignorance, but that charge belongs to these disciples instead. For following their retelling of all that had happened in the past few days, Jesus then gives them his own questioning. "Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Jesus then goes on to lay out for them all of Moses and the prophets, what they had said about him as the Messiah. Jesus then lays out for them everything that they needed to know in order to properly understand all of the events of the past few days had already been recorded by Moses and the prophets. The Old Testament scriptures, their beloved scriptures, had already said it all. Jesus comes to these grieving disciples in the midst of their turmoil, and he brings them comfort. He patiently goes into the scriptures and teaches them as he had done before. He did not desire for them to continue in their sorrow. It was unnecessary, after all. Jesus wanted them to know for certain, beyond any shadow of doubt, that he was and is truly the Messiah. That all that had happened to him was according to God's will. And also, that he was truly alive. The tomb was empty, as the women had said, because it could not contain Jesus. He had beaten death. He had beaten sin. He had beaten the devil once for all. It was now time for these disciples of Jesus to know this and to believe it. And so Jesus revealed to these men all that he had done, all that had to be done, and that all of this that he went through, that he accomplished, was for them. What Jesus came to do was never about a certain race of people, not about a certain type of people. Jesus came, and he did all that was necessary for the salvation of every person, of every type, all whom God would call to himself. All that Jesus did was for those two disciples. All that he did was for you as his disciples. His life, he lived perfectly in your place. His bloody and painful suffering and death he did for you because the forgiveness of sins required it. His resurrection from the dead, Jesus did for you because death could not be allowed to win. Death could not be allowed to triumph. All of this story, these events of Jesus' passion and his resurrection has been wrapped up in the writings of Moses and the prophets. Jesus shows this truth to those disciples. Now, at this point in the story, the two disciples still do not know who it is that they are walking with. So they ask him to stay with them that night. And he agrees for a time, taking over as the host of the table. Jesus took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them. And in that simple act, done by thousands every day throughout Israel, Jesus reveals to his disciples his identity, who he is, triggering that image of him breaking bread on the night of his betrayal. Jesus' task is completed here with his disciples. He has taught them what they need to know from the scriptures. He has prepared them to teach everything that he has just taught them, everything that the scriptures say concerning him. And then he vanishes from their sight. These men, these Emmaus-bound disciples, have had their confidence restored because of the word of Jesus. He has made it clear to them that he has always been in control. Jesus has shown them that he goes with them on the road, guiding them along the way that they should go. He does the same for each of us here and now. He goes with us because we are his. He has claimed us in his act of baptism. Jesus has placed his very name on each of you. And he has given you his Holy Spirit to abide with you forever, so that you are kept steadfast and firm in the word of Christ and in his precious sacraments. At the font you claim and name us, born of water and the word. At the table still you feed us, host us as our risen Lord. Our Lord Jesus comes to us each new day with his word of forgiveness. He makes himself and his love known to us through the word and the sacraments. Because of this, because of those means of grace, each day is a new Emmaus, with Jesus making himself known to you, as is his good pleasure. To God alone be all the glory forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.